Good morning. I'm Pastor Don Shaw from Neepog Bible Church. I'm ministering this morning from an empty auditorium this morning because our people are home because of the coronavirus. But we're going ahead and giving you the ministry of the word this morning. Our message this morning is from 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 1 to chapter 11, verse 4. Guidance in facing sinfully irresponsible, destructive leaders. The current coronavirus pandemic and its vast destructive fallout is mainly the product of bad leadership. Li Yuan's story, Coronavirus Crisis, shows China's governance failure in the February 4 issue of New York Times, noted that as the virus spread, officials in Wuhan and around the country of China withheld critical information, played down the threat, and rebuked doctors who tried to raise the alarm. So that by not issuing earlier warnings, the Chinese government potentially lost the window to keep the disease from becoming an epidemic. However, leaders in our own country have greatly erred as well. The Government Accountability Office, which is the federal government's leading internal watchdog, had been issuing a steady stream of reports about poor pandemic planning since the early 2000s. And the U.S. intelligence agencies have often warned, and I quote them, "The United States and the world will remain vulnerable to the next flu pandemic or large-scale outbreak of a contagious disease that could lead to massive rates of death and disability and severely affect the world economy." Well, in spite of such warnings, government leaders did not prepare for the current pandemic, and seen in its exposing inadequate supplies of protective masks, ventilators, intensive care beds, and other medical resources. In addition, grocery stores have often run short on meat or dish detergent or bottled water, paper towels, and toilet paper. The stock market has been on a roller coaster ride as investors fear a deep recession. Marijuana users are on a buying spree in search of relief during anxious times. And economist Nancy Vanden Houten at the consulting firm Oxford Economics has claimed, quote, "The U.S. economy will experience the largest contraction on record with the most severe surge in unemployment ever." So we ask, what guidance does God offer as we live under sinfully irresponsible and destructive leaders? We have a passage in front of us this morning in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. I'd like to read the passage and then get into it. "And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were come all Israel to make him king. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who had been in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, the father of Rehoboam, heard about it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve you. And he said unto them, Come back again unto me after 3 days. So the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he was still a living, saying, What counsel do you give me to return in an answer to this people? And they spoke unto him, saying, If you be kind to this people and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave, and took counsel with the young men that they had brought up with him, and stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye, that we may return answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? Now the young men that were brought up with him spoke unto him, saying, Thus thou shalt answer the people that spoke unto you, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou somewhat lighter for us. Thus thou shalt say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, and the king bade, saying, Come again unto me on the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men, saying, My father made our yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king did not listen unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word, which he spoke by the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite, unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? That would be in David's kingdom. And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. And now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their own tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was over the tribute, that would be the slave labor, and the children of Israel stoned him with stones, that he died. But King Rehoboam made speed to get him up into his chariot and flee back to Jerusalem. And Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Well, Rehoboam, in this passage, sinfully, irresponsibly made a terrible decision on how to treat his subjects. When Israel prepared to crown Solomon's son Rehoboam as king, the people under his father's former servant Jeroboam asked him to lighten his father's yoke on them as their condition of accepting his rule. Now, this request reveals that Solomon had failed to read Scripture daily so as to respect the subjects, like Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 to 20 taught, and it taught Israel's kings. So he had become a sinfully oppressive king. You see, in God's style of leadership, what leaders are supposed to do is not serve their own interests. What they're supposed to do is to serve the interests and the needs of people under them. Leaders should be self-sacrificing for the sake of the people. And that's what Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20 taught. But Rehoboam asked for time to consider their request, but in seeking counsel, he rejected the advice of his father's older counselors not to oppress the people, like Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20 taught, in favor of the sinful advice of the younger men that he oppresses subjects even more than Solomon did. So consequently, Rehoboam destructively split the kingdom. When Rehoboam told the people that he would be more oppressive than his father, 10 of Israel's tribes rebelled against him, leaving Rehoboam only two tribes to rule, which would be the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin that was very closely associated with Judah at this time. Rehoboam then unsuccessfully tried to get the rebellious 10 tribes to submit to him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 10, 18 to 19, he sent the head of the slave labor. Very unwise decision, and of course they stoned him to death. And that whole event was an eye-opener unto King Rehoboam, because he suddenly recognized that he didn't have the influence with Israel that he thought he did. Well, God then revealed that he had sovereignly let the kingdom split in punishment for Solomon's sin. Rehoboam mustered his army to fight the 10 northern tribes in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 1 and following. But God's prophet Shemaiah warned him not to fight against them because the division of the kingdom was permitted by God himself. Let me read that. In 2 Chronicles 11, 1, and when Rehoboam was come back to Jerusalem, he gathered the house of Judah and Benjamin, 144,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against Israel that he might bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, Thus saith the Lord, You shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his own house. For this thing, this whole event, this whole division, is done of me. In other words, it's under my provision and protection. And wonderfully, notice in the last part of verse 4, they obeyed the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. So Rehoboam heeded Shemaiah's warning, and he refrained from fighting against the northern tribes at that time. So what you've got is you've got leadership failure on the part of Rehoboam. The thing is split, it's a mess, and you've got all these individuals living in both kingdoms, thousands upon thousands of people. And the question is, how are they going to function now that we have inadequate or imperfect leadership? Well, it's interesting that Scripture records how God has blessed individual believers who obeyed him during the entire era of the divided kingdom. And that era runs from Rehoboam, when he split the kingdom, all the way down to the second coming of Jesus Christ, even when such believers often lived under sinfully irresponsible, destructive leaders. Now, it's true, when Israel came back, Judah came back from the Babylonian and the Assyrian captivities that came into the land, but they were never under a united Davidic kingdom. They would have been under a king, but he would have been a Gentile king. And normally they were wicked men and so forth. So all the way until the second coming of Christ, you will not have a united kingdom under a Davidic king until the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, comes back and he sets up his kingdom. So it's interesting that you can apply all those passages to the time that anybody has if he's facing a troublesome leadership. The lesson is that Rehoboam sinfully and irresponsibly chose to oppress his subjects, destructively dividing the kingdom, and God sovereignly let him divide the kingdom to punish sin in the nation's leadership, while also continuing to bless individual believers who obeyed the Lord, though they still lived under the sinful, irresponsibly destructive rulers. So in application, the first thing we need to do is to trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. I understand this recording is getting out in a wide outreach throughout the world, and you might be listening in, you might have just tuned in and found that this is a church, a different church, and you may have never heard that a person needs to have a relationship with God only through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of the world, which would include your sins as well as mine. And what we need to do is to believe that he died on the cross for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, and by faith in him, we'll have eternal life. So John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if we've made that decision to trust in Christ, if we ourselves are in a leadership role, may we heed Deuteronomy chapter 17, 18 to 20a, to read Scripture daily to be reminded of our need to respect our subordinates and not to oppress them. Someone like myself as a pastor would be in that role. If you're a parent, you would be in that role in regards to your children. If you're a business overseer, you're in relationship to employees and so forth, government leaders, etc. Now, since the ministries of the Old Testament prophets following Rehoboam's rule down through the earthly life of Christ applied God's blessings to individuals, though they faced sinfully, irresponsible, destructive rulers, and since we face sinfully irresponsible destructive rulers in our current era, may we use those scriptures on God's blessing to individual believers for guidance for our individual benefit today. And I'm going to give seven illustrations of that fact that are particularly applicable to what we're facing now with the coronavirus pandemic, at least in this country. And I know it's worldwide because we're hearing from even our missionaries by way of email and so forth about how they're having to hunker down and they're having to quarantine themselves and so forth. First of all, on financial shortages, when Israel was under the rule of sinful and often irresponsible destructive leaders of the divided kingdom of Jesus's era, Jesus told Peter in Matthew 17, 24 to 27, Jesus told Peter to cast a line with a hook on it into the Sea of Galilee and pull up a fish to find in its mouth a 4-drachma coin to pay for the temple tax of 2 drachmas each for him and for Peter. They used to have these coins and they would mint them. And incidentally, they have found there is a fish that lives in the Sea of Galilee that loves to go after bright, shiny trinkets. And a coin like this would end up in his mouth, but it would be too big for the fish to swallow, so it just got stuck in his mouth. So if Jesus supplied the exact amount of money that he and Peter owed for this tax, God can and will meet our financial needs in our era as we heed him, according to Philippians chapter 4, 12 to 19. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in that passage in Philippians 4, 12 to 19 noted how God would supply all the needs of his Philippian readers by his power and by his glory in Christ Jesus. But that happened as those Philippian people, those Philippian believers, were committed to Jesus Christ and obeying him in their lives. Now, on material shortages in stores that we visit to purchase goods, and we've all been there. I've come into the stores, I've seen paper products shelves completely bare. Meat areas, sometimes all the meat is gone. You can't find a chicken in that particular store. Sometimes you can't even find beef, or certainly ground beef in many stores. So, on material shortages in stores we visit to purchase goods, in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 to 44, during the reign of Ahab's godless son, King Jehoram, God took a donation of 20 loaves someone had given to the school of the prophets, what would only feed 20 men, And through his prophet Elisha, he multiplied it so that all 100 of the prophets could not only be filled, but have leftovers. So God will meet our shortages if we heed him. Once again, Philippians 4, 12 through 19 demonstrates that same particular thing. We need to be committed to serving the Lord and living for the Lord and obeying him. If we're obeying the Lord in our lives, then he's going to commit himself to meeting our needs so that we can continue to serve him. See, God's interest is doing his will. So if we get committed doing to God's will, then he's going to back up all the need situations that we have, all the resources he will provide so that we can have our needs met, so that we can keep serving him. Now three, on paying for debts upon loss of income. Boy, is that a big issue today. In 2 Kings 4, 1-7, under the reign of evil King Jehoram, when an unemployed widow was left with her late husband's debt, and the creditor was about to take her sons to be his slaves to pay off the debt, she cried out to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha had her borrow vessels from her neighbors and pour out what olive oil she had into the vessels. When God multiplied the oil to fill up all the vessels, she was to sell the oil, pay off the debt, and live off of the proceeds. So may we obey the Lord and trust him to meet our needs, even in the loss of income when we face debts, not fretting about it, and he will meet our needs. Once again, I allude to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 19. Verses 6 through 9 deal with not being anxious about anything, but letting our requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace will be with us, and so forth. Okay, on livelihood security amid stock market swoons, job layoffs, and the shutting down of business income streams while we have to be quarantined. All right. 1 Kings chapter 17, 1-16, under evil King Ahab, who sought for Elijah to kill him for predicting a severe drought for his sin, as God had Elijah hid, quarantined from Ahab by the brook Cherith, God used ravens, and ravens often forget to feed their own young, according to Job chapter 38, verse 41. And he made these ravens faithfully bring him bread, which is carbohydrates, and meat, which is protein. Notice the balanced diet, both morning and evening. When the brook dried up, God sent Elijah to stay with a widow and her son, and he kept restocking her barrel of meal for the rest of the drought and Elijah's quarantine. So God took care of him throughout the entire quarantine period. What we need to do is make sure that we're in right relationship with the Lord, and God will see to it that our needs are met. On individual trials of anxiety during the divided kingdom under godless Gentile rule, when Peter asked Jesus if he could walk on the sea to meet him, Jesus said, come. When Peter left the boat and began to walk on the water, he saw the wind was boisterous, so he became afraid. He began to sink, and he cried out for Jesus to save him. So Jesus quickly stretched out his hand. He caught Peter and asked him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? It's the King's English. When they got back into the boat, you notice the wind stopped. This is Matthew chapter 14, 28-32. The whole boisterous wind thing was for Peter's sake, because once they got back into the boat, the Lord didn't need the wind anymore, so he shut it down. Then in 2 Kings chapter 6, 1-7, under evil King Jehoram, when a prophet who served God was helping to build a shelter for the school of the prophets, and he lost a borrowed axe head into the Jordan River, and it distressed him, the prophet Elisha miraculously made the axe head float so that it could be retrieved. So we can leave our anxieties with God and find his peace, even in a time like this. Once again, I allude to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. Now, on the trial of having to deal with sinfully irresponsible, destructive leaders themselves, in 2 Kings chapter 8, 1-6, under the reign of evil King Jehoram, the prophet Elisha told the Shunammite woman to leave her land and sojourn elsewhere to escape a coming seven-year famine of divine judgment. When she obeyed Elisha's word, leaving her land, others seized the land, so that when she returned, she had to beg evil King Jehoram for her property. Now when she arrived in the king's presence to speak with him, Elisha's sinful former servant Gehazi was just then telling Jehoram about Elisha's raising of the Shunammite woman's son from the dead. Jehoram was so impressed by the account that he ordered the Shunammite woman's land to be restored to her with its produce, from the day that she had left it. In other words, all 7 years of produce, even during the lean years of the famine. So God caused Elisha's ungodly former servant and the nation's ungodly king to restore the woman's land and all its produce. So we can trust God to function for our blessing and sovereignty over even sinfully irresponsible, destructive leaders. See, leaders are like pawns in the hands of God. He knows how to make them do exactly what he wants them to do. And so what we need to do is make sure that we're aligned with the Lord. On health concerns, this is a big one. Health concerns amid the pandemic. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 38 to 41, during a famine of God's judgment on the reign of evil King Jehoram, when a prophet had unwittingly added a poisonous plant's gourd to a pot of stew for the school of the prophets, raising an alarm when some of the men began to taste it. Elisha threw meal into the pot and God neutralized the portion, the poison. Now, God does not always will to heal believers in the church era. We know from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, that Paul left Trophimus, a believer in Christ. He left him sick at Miletus and sailed away. And in another chapter in the book of Acts, Paul actually raised a man from the dead. So it wasn't always God's will to heal even in the early church. But we can trust the Lord to watch over our health so that we can fulfill his ministry assignments for us in our era, just like he watched over the health of the school of the prophets so they might fulfill his assignments for them in Elisha's era. It's interesting. I'm 72 years of age, and so I'm supposed to be high risk for this coronavirus. Well, a long time ago, I made peace with God, so I'm ready to go. Anytime the Lord says, you know, Don, you're coming home, I'm going home. I'm going home to be with the Lord. But while I'm here, I've got a job to do. So I'm not concerned about whether or not I get, or if I might possibly get the pandemic. I'm taking precautions, obviously, like everybody else. And right now, I'm feeling fine, so forth. But you never know. But the point is, I know that God wants me, while I'm alive and while I have the health, to do what I'm doing now. And that's all I need to be committed to. And that's what you need to be committed to as well. So may we trust in Christ for salvation. May we study Scripture to be reminded to treat subordinates with respect and be encouraged to trust God to help us as we live under sinfully irresponsible, destructive leaders. I'd like to close in a word of prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful for the privilege that you give us to have the word of God in our own language today and have the indwelling power and ministry of the Spirit of God so that no matter where we are, even if we are socially distanced from one another because of a virus, we can use the technology that is available for us today to bridge that gap. And the ministry of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can reach out and reach lives and touch them for Christ. I would ask, Father, that if there's anyone who's watching this video or listening to us on the MP3 who as yet has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would see their need to do so that they might have eternal life and go to be with him in eternity whenever this life would end. And Father, I would ask also for believers who may be listening to us, whether they're believers who attend our church or other churches in other parts of the world, that they would take hope from the Word of God, from the way, Father, you worked to minister to individuals during the divided kingdom, even in days when there were inadequate and improper and sometimes even bad leaders, that they would take hope from that and learn the lessons of living by faith and trusting the Lord to see their needs met. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.